Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us watching Monday Night Football last night. And look, every time we've seen Tom Brady in prime time this year, it feels like we're seeing a different Tom Brady. Although, I would argue that for a good portion of this season, Tom Brady has looked better than he's looked in the last few years. Let's talk a little bit more about what we saw last night out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and talk about NFL quarterbacks in general with Pewter Report's John Ledyard, who's good with his time to join us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. John, how you been, man?
I've been great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
John, what you saw last night from Tom Brady, give us kind of your state of the union with Tom Brady here. Can we say we're seeing signs of decline?
I don't know if it's decline because he's played so well most of the season. I think that in this game, he clearly played very poorly, especially the second half of the game. You know, early in the game, I thought, you know, they were doing what he had to do against the Rams. I kind of talked about all week, this is a really tough defense to play against. They're doing things right now that not every defense, any defense, is doing in the NFL with some of their fronts, with the way that they're deploying their secondary, a lot of matchup coverages. Their safeties are playing high all the time, and so it's really hard to hit vertical pass plays on them. So he was taking what was underneath, and that was exactly what they had to do. But the problem with Brady and with Arians, I think, at times, is both of them get impatient. Both of them get a little bit too over-aggressive, I think, at times. You know, I think that was one of Brady's biggest issues last year. Although they had worse talent, so it was harder to complete anything even underneath. You know, at times he would just kind of rip the ball into coverage because he was just frustrated. They couldn't get anything going. And I felt like that was kind of what we saw in the second half, just a little bit of frustration. The mechanics started falling apart and crumbling a little bit, especially there was a stretch there in the third quarter where he was under pressure for a decent amount of throws. I don't know if rattled's the right word for Brady. I just think it's more like he just gets kind of angry and like doesn't really play as smart and as fundamentally sound as he typically plays. And so, yeah, I think that that's definitely been at play with him over the last couple of years of his career. I'm not really sure, you know, I would call it decline or just like a trend with him that's going in the wrong direction. I mean, physically, he doesn't seem to be declining at all, you know, but I think that stuff is kind of throwing off some of the accuracy at times and some of the decision-making just because he's rushing things a little bit and doesn't seem totally comfortable with what he's doing.
Or is there a blueprint, John, where defenses, and I'm just drawing off of what we've seen in Brady in primetime. Again, you know, primetime games, Brady has not fared very well this year. You're watching every game, every snap. But, I mean, does the lack of a running game in any specific game really hurt Tom Brady? Are defenses winning games by forcing Tom Brady to try and beat them?
Well, I don't think that's it as much. I mean, like the Rams, for example, like they play too high most of the game. And so it's not like they're loading the box and, you know, forcing Brady to beat him or whatever. The Bucs running game is so bad on first down that that does have some ripple effect as it would on any quarterback just because they're always in second and third and long. And so that makes it really, that makes it difficult. I think it would for any quarterback, statistically speaking. You know, that's just not an advantageous situation to be in. But Brady actually has them converting at a way better clip than their first down success would indicate they should be at for the year. And so, you know, and even last night, the first half, I mean, again, they're running almost all unsuccessfully on first down, and he's getting them out of second and third and longs pretty consistently. So, you know, second half, it didn't happen at all, and he made a number of poor throws and poor decisions in the second half on top of being in bad situations. So it's kind of like it all piles on top of each other. No one comes in to play the Bucs though, saying like we're going to focus on stopping the run for sure. They're just not that good at running it for anybody to say that. And Brady's still obviously, you know, he's been the MVP of this team. You know, I don't know that there's much question about that. But again, you're right. Like in prime time, you know, those struggles have been amplified. There's been other factors. I mean, like the Saints game, you know, they were down so much. The game early, the game plan went out the window. There were drops early on, a third down drop, and there were other issues with pass protection. I mean, Brady was hit immediately on some of his throws early in that game. You know, so really they were down by so much, and there were so many miscommunications on deep balls. I mean, guys cut off their routes when they shouldn't have. They just looked totally out of sorts. It wasn't really all on Brady. Whereas last night, I'd say it was more on Brady than it was in any other game he may have, you know, struggled or been in prime time with this season. Last night was more mistakes that he was making rather than the rest of the team. And that's definitely not the way things have trended most of the season.
Is a sign of hope here maybe Antonio Brown? Because here he comes in after over a year off from action. Is that something that could perhaps click, or has enough time passed where really Antonio Brown's nothing more than a number three on this team? What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown?
I mean, he's looked great. I don't think there's been any issue with Antonio Brown on the field. I mean, it's been, you know, he's made a couple tough catches, as he should. You know, it's a lot of possession stuff right now. They've had opportunities to get on the ball down the field, but pressure or, you know, there was a miscommunication with Ian Brady last week. Brown kind of bent the route like horizontally across the field. Brady thought he was going to go upfield and not flatten it out quite as much as he did. I think Brady threw it right, and Brown just bent it too much. So there have definitely been miscommunications between the two of them. You know, the deep ball against the Saints, Brown stopped his route. It was an interception. So there's been those miscommunications. I don't know that that's any – I mean, that's just the reality of signing off the street and throwing him into a huge role in your offense right away. I mean, he's, you know, Scotty Miller's seen his snaps basically fall off completely since Brown arrived, and his targets and his receptions too. So, you know, that's the choice that they made, and they have to live with those kind of growing pains. I think he's obviously also done good stuff for them, and like I said, made some really tough combat catches and body control on the sideline. He's getting open. He's doing things after the catch that are good. And so, you know, AB's fine, I think, but in general, when you plug somebody in to a major role in your offense midway through the season, you know, especially an offense like this that, you know, it's not all simple stuff. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do as a receiver. There's a lot of coverages to read and things like that. So I think when you do that, you know, you just risk messing with some chemistry at times, and you hope that the positive plays can make up for the negative one.
He's John Ledyard. You can read his work at pewterreport.com, covering the Bucs, also the NFL draft. And John, while we have you for a few more minutes here, I want to just kind of look overall. I know you spend a lot of time evaluating and looking at film and looking at quarterbacks, and I don't want to go too far from where you are in covering the Bucs. Can we talk about what Miami has been doing in their development of Tua Tagovailoa? Because we were talking a lot about it yesterday when he was benched in the fourth quarter in favor of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is it really as difficult as we're making it sound for a team like Miami to develop a young quarterback while also trying to win games and stay relevant in a playoff hunt? What are your thoughts on how Brian Flores in Miami has dealt with Tua up to this point?
Well, I just don't really understand. I mean, I thought Tua was banged up the other day when he came out, and I mean, he did suffer a pretty nasty hit, but then Flores comes out and just kind of says, no, it wasn't even about that. Like, I don't understand. Like, Tua wasn't even playing that poorly. It's not like he was like destroying their chances to win, or, you know, it was just very weird. Like, I just don't know what he saw in the brief amount of time that happened before Tua was out, basically to say like, oh, this guy's not going to be able to give us a chance to win in this game. So when something like that happens, the first thing you think of is like, GM wants a guy, head coach isn't sold on him and wants another guy, you know, whether it's overall or just to play this season or to play this week. I don't know what it is, but it just really can't happen. I mean, once you commit to a rookie quarterback, I'm just a big believer that you got to ride with that guy through all situations, basically. I mean, if it gets to the point where he is destroying your team's chances to win, you know, maybe you got to take him out. But at that point, you know, you're probably admitting, I mean, how often does it happen where that is the case? And then you that player becomes great down the road. You know, I just think you have to ride with them. And certainly in that game, I didn't see anything that was indicate that Tua was not giving them any type of chance to win, or was just, you know, his play was beyond belief bad. And so it was a really unusual decision to me. Up till that point, I hadn't had much of an issue with how they handled it. You know, I think Tua's got to have his opportunity. They've got that high pick they've got from the Texans. Whether what they're hoping is a high pick from the Texans, they've got to see what they have in Tua, and this season gives them an opportunity to be able to do that. But you got to ride with the guy. I mean, he's been playing fine. I mean, he's not great or anything, but he's a rookie quarterback. You know, it's going to take time, and you have to ride with the guy. And I know glad they're sticking with him as the starter. That's the right call. But you can't be yanking him in and out of the lineup every time he hits a little bump in the road. You got to be able to ride with the guy and trust him to start getting you through those situations.
Yeah, certainly we're familiar with that. I mean, 2018, Josh Allen, Lambeau, shut out by the Packers. I mean, there were some ugly games there, but now we look here in 2020. John, what are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills quarterback?
I mean, I think he's been outstanding. I would say, you know, top five quarterback in the league this season easily, and it's not easy stuff either anymore. You know, he's making all the throws. He's making them against in pressure situations. I just don't know what you could even ask for from Josh Allen. You know, even consistency, which has always been the big knock, you know, accuracy, consistency, you know, snap to snap, you know, decision making. I think he's been really good in those areas. A lot of his interceptions, I don't really feel like have even been his fault or have been like truly disastrous throws. You know, he's taken that craziness out of his game this season. I mean, sure, you're going to have a play here and there, but I mean, you get those from Pat Mahomes, you get those from Rodgers, you get those from all of these guys. Like, yeah, that in small doses, that's fine. But I mean, that's literally who Josh Allen's been most of his life playing football. And so I honestly don't know that there has been a better coaching job with the quarterback that I have ever seen than what Brian Daboll's done. I mean, this Josh Allen was not good in college. He just wasn't. And his stats bear it out, his tape bear it out, everything. And then his first couple years in the NFL, you know, his first year he wasn't very good. And then it was kind of like a slow build toward what we're seeing now. But he literally just stripped him down, started with the mechanics, made the offense simple, and then just built it back up, right? I mean, like all the different elements that he used to build Josh Allen's confidence, to build his ability. Last year it was a ton of short stuff, couldn't hit anything deep, couldn't hit the long ball. This year, that's not even been, we haven't even talked about it since early in the season. We were like, oh, he can hit the deep ball now. Now he's just, it's everything. And so what Dable's done is unbelievable. And I just, if I'm an NFL team, I realize that hiring head coach in some ways is a crapshoot. I don't know the guy personally, but I just look at what he's done with the quarterback, and I'm like, I don't know how he isn't at the top of your list if you're a team with a young quarterback that needs a head coach next season.
Yeah, a lot of credit to Brian Daboll. How much credit, John, do you give to the addition of Stephon Diggs, who's been unbelievable for the Buffalo Bills through 10 games this season?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best receivers at creating separation against man coverage. And so whenever you get a guy like that, I just think it's absolutely critical that you're able to scheme ways to get him the football, you know, and to make sure you move him around and create good matchups for him and get him vertical, get him short. I mean, you can just do a lot of different stuff when you have a guy that can beat anybody in man coverage. You know, he can beat the best in man coverage. And so when you have that, I think you can just find all kinds of ways to have fun with that piece, in my opinion. And so, you know, he's been tremendous for them and you know, really thought that he would be when the move was made. They really have three. I mean, Cole Beasley is one of the most underrated players in the NFL, if we're being honest. I mean, he just doesn't get any credit for the kind of stuff that he does, and he is a terrific route runner, but he's also unbelievable at finishing on the ball for a small guy, and he doesn't get enough love for that, and he's decent after the catch, too. And so, yeah, they have great weapons. They've done exactly what you do with a young quarterback. They individually stripped him down, built him back up. They were patient with him. They endured the tough times with him. They kept his confidence high. They allow him to use his athleticism at times as well. And then they went out and they focused all on the offensive line to keep him healthy and get his confidence up. You can't have your confidence going up when you're getting destroyed early on in your career. They kept his confidence up. They gave him better protection last year. Then this offseason, they said, all right, we're going to finish off the weapons. We're going to get a guy like Stephon Diggs, and we're going to get all the weapons that we need to be an elite offense. And now they are that. And so, you know, I just think that they've done things exactly how you should do them with a young quarterback. And Josh Allen's been the beneficiary of that. And he obviously has the mentality and has put in the time, too. So hard to knock any holes in what Buffalo's done with him. It's been one of the best coaching jobs in the NFL over the past couple of years.
John, if I could sneak one more in here. The Bills get the Chargers this week, and we've seen the highlights. We've seen a few games of Justin Herbert. Your thoughts on Herbert as a rookie? Have the Chargers found their guy? And what would be the challenge here for Buffalo going up against the kid coming up Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think one of the tough things about playing Justin Herbert is everybody wants to pressure a rookie quarterback, and you're getting killed if you do that against Justin Herbert. And so it makes it hard to figure out how you want to exactly play him early on in his career, because right now he's just making so many good throws against pressure that you're not totally sure that you want to do that. So, I mean, you have to disguise your coverages, I think, for sure. You have to get creative with that kind of stuff a little bit. And same with your pressure packages. I don't think you can just let him sit back there or just rush four, but I do think you know, there's an element of risk involved with Justin Herbert and blitzing him that is just really not something you see with a rookie quarterback very often in today's NFL, or in any era in the NFL, really. So that is kind of one of the things that made his rookie season pretty special, and why he should probably is a lock to win offensive rookie of the year, the offensive rookie of the year, because of his play in those situations and the amount of high degree of difficulty throws that he's made in that offense. And they haven't really run the ball that well either. So I wouldn't come in with the mentality of we're going to stop the run and, you know, make this rookie beat us, because, and again, that's something you typically would see against a rookie quarterback that I don't think you'll see against Justin Herbert. And the last thing I'll say on that is that if I'm the Chargers, then I'm looking hard at Brian Daboll in the offseason as a potential head coach, you know, because Anthony Lynn's done some good things, but at the end of the day, like, you have to win more football games, and the situational coaching has just been horrendous for them. I really like him as a person. Maybe he sticks it out there for another year, but I think it's going to be hard with some of these offensive minds that are up for head coaching jobs. You have a quarterback like Justin Herbert. I think it's going to be hard for the Chargers to look at those guys, and Daboll being one of them, and say, you know, we're going to continue to ride with Lynn when he hasn't really done a whole lot there.
John, it's been way too long since we've had you on, and we know a lot's changed in your life. You've got a lot going on. Please, before we let you go, let our audience know where they can get more of your work. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. And pewterreport.com, I write about the Bucks for sure there, obviously, so there's lots of Bucks content. But there will be more and more draft content as we move toward the draft, and so I'll have tons of draft content up there as well. And then we'll also on the Pewter Report podcast, right now it's a lot of Bucks focus, but after the season ends, that is going to be a heavy off-season free agency talk, and then a bunch of draft stuff too. So we're going to talk draft, have prospects on, so there will be stuff for all fan bases on there after the season. So the Pewter Report podcast, we're live on YouTube 4 days a week, and we're also do have the podcast that you can find and listen to all the spots you listen to podcasts on. So we have a lot of fun over there, and it's lots of fun content.
John, great catching up with you. Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks so much.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. John Ledyard, you can read his work at pewterreport.com, covering the Bucks. Talk about what we saw last night on Monday Night Football. Loss in prime time for Tom Brady. Hate to see it. The Rams look like they might be one of the better teams in the NFC, if not the best team in the NFC. And some love there for the Buffalo Bills, for Josh Allen, and for Brian Daboll. It's something that we haven't talked about in a while. But, I mean, think about the last two games. You know, you go 1-1, but that offense is absolutely blown up against Seattle, against Arizona. Now, granted, not great defenses that you're going up against here, but yeah, the Brian Daboll talk kind of disappeared. The Brian Daboll next head coach talk kind of disappeared there during that lull, the middle of the season.
Oh, he's going to get interviews. There's no question, whether that's the Chargers, whether that's going to be some other team. Who knows? Could be Atlanta. But we kind of forget that Anthony Lynn has been out there. This is year four for Anthony Lynn. And what have the Chargers done? And I think it's unfortunate, because he took the job. I guess he knew what he was getting into, right? When he does his introductory press conference, he doesn't even know what city he's in, okay? And for Anthony Lynn, he guides this team playing through a soccer stadium, gets the quarterback, but the bottom line is they're only 3-7.
And the game management, Ledyard's not wrong. I mean, it's been a little suspect. Now, I don't know if Brian Daboll is the guy that you bring in that specific situation, but I think you're right. I think Brian Daboll is going to be a name. He's going to be getting a lot of interviews. What will that do to Josh Allen moving forward?
I think he'll be fine, because I think what the Bills have done is they've set it up. The next offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills is already on the staff. His name is Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey, who called plays, I believe, in Carolina, who has been the quarterback coach for the last couple seasons for Josh Allen. He will be the next offensive coordinator.
Next man up.
That's it.
That's how we do it. Sean McDermott team, next man up. Got to be ready to go. Next man up. All right. Let's get to I'll Drink to That next in the sports bar. We've got takes on tap, Gino.
Oh, yeah. I think there's going to be one fan base that's not going to be happy with my take here, but my take being that this team is going to be in the playoffs and they're a complete fake. I will tell you which team is going to be destined for not just a first-round loss, but they're just going to get wiped off the map in the first round.
Interesting. They've made announcements for the. They've made semifinalist announcements for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021, and I have reasons why Tasker needs to get in. We'll explain. All Drink to That is on the way next. Takes on Tap. Plenty of time for your calls as well. If you want to pull up a stool and join us, the ESPN Rochester Wingman line is 454-ESPN, 585-454-3776. More on the way in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.